We're on page 764. Last time we learned about the Saita, and the last year before Pesach we learned about Birchas Kohanim. Okay, now the Torah says like this. Vayidaber Hashem, I'm sorry. Vayhi b'yem kalei smeishel lahokim es hamishkan. Now this is going back 764. She didn't have the right page. It's okay. 764. Now you got it. Okay, in Parsha Shemini, you have to understand what's going on over here in the Chumash. In Parsha Shemini, in the middle of Vayikra, at the beginning of Vayikra, the Torah speaking was the eighth day that they dedicated the Mishkan. Nadav and Avihu died, that whole story. Then the Torah went off into kosher animals, non-kosher animals. Then it went off into the allowed relations, not allowed relations, Achrim, Eish, Kadeshim. Okay, now the Torah is going back to then. Okay, now that happened on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we learned. Vayhi b'yom hashmini was Rosh Chodesh Nissan, right? This is going, everything else was like a big parenthesis from that, historically, and now the Torah is going back to Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So vayhi b'yom kaleis meishel hakim samishkan, it was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu finished putting up the Mishkan. And the Rashi says, what do you mean he finished? Because he was putting up every day for 7 days. This was the last time that it stayed up until they traveled again. But it didn't go up and down, it was finished. And Rashi says, interesting, even though the Mefarshim asked the question, where do we find such a thing? But the word kalais in the Sefer Torah is without the vav, which is the word kalah. Which means, like Rashi says, that it was like at this day, when the Mishkan was finished, it was like a kala going to the chuppah. The Jews are the kala, marrying Hashem. You know, the chosen comes to the kala. This is the wedding between HaKadosh Baruch and the Knesset Yisrael. Really, it started a Matan Torah. But that was temporary. When Hashem said, I need a permanent home with my wife, with the Jewish people. So that was the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu built.
Mishkan is the chuppah?
Yeah, the Mishkan is like the chuppah, it says. Now, Rashi explains also, even though it wasn't only Moshe, it was Bezalel, Aliyah, a lot of people, they're all part of the Mishkan, but Moshe Rabbeinu dedicated his life more than everybody else, so therefore it's called on the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. He anointed it with the special oil that we learned. He sanctified it and all the vessels. And the Mizbeach and all the utensils. Okay? And the Ibn Ezra writes, why is it mentioning here the Mizbeach separately? It doesn't say the Aron and the Shulchan, because the Mizbeach was the Korbanis. And that was the ultimate purpose of the Mishkan, the Rambam says, was for the sake of bringing sacrifices, because sacrifices actually forgave the Jewish people for all their sins. So the Mizbeach is mentioned separately, and he anointed them and he sanctified them. Okay? Now, he really, like he brings down at the bottom of it, the Torah in Shemini mentioned that they're already sanctified and anointed, but what it's saying over here, the Mefarshim explained, that none of the Mishkan actually functioned until all the other vessels were anointed. In other words, even though say they anointed the Mizbeach and not the Shulchan, so the Mizbeach really wasn't anointed until after they anointed all the other utensils of the Mishkan. When everything was done, so everything became sanctified at the same time. It all became holy at the same time. Okay? So this is basically what happened. He sanctified all these karbanis, all the people and the holy things. With oil. Special oil that they anointed all the kelim and the kayanim and all that. Okay. Then he says like this. Vayakriva Nesiya Yisrael, the Nesiya Yisrael, the leaders, the princes of the Jewish people, Rashi Beis HaVeisam, the heads of the families of the Jewish people. Heim nesiei amateis, they were the leaders of the tribes. Heim ha'imdim ala pekudim, they were the ones that counted the Jewish people together with Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Rashi says over here an interesting thing. Where did these nesiim merit to become the leaders of the Jewish people? So before in Parshas Shmos, the beginning of Chumash, when it speaks about Paro enslaving the Jews, so it says, Paro appointed Jewish policemen to taskmasters to make sure the Jews finished their jobs. And if the Jews didn't, they got beat. They got beat. And it says in the Medrash that those people had pity on the Jewish people. They would get whipped for the Jewish people. Because of that, they merited that when these things happened, they became the leaders of the Jewish people.
Can I ask you a question? The spies, no. Are these the same types of men?
No, these were different guys.
I'm saying there were leaders and then there were spies. I had a feeling that the spies...
No, one time the spies were leaders, but they weren't the leaders of the tribes.
They weren't leaders of the tribes, I guess.
No. Like, for instance, Nachshon ben Aminadav was the head of Yehuda. The spy from Yehuda was Kalev ben Yefuna. It's like... It's different...
The spies weren't leaders.
The spies were leaders, but they weren't the Nesiim, the princes of the tribes. The governor, so to speak, of the, you know, of the states, of the 12 tribes.
So none of them went into the spy land?
No. But therefore, Rashi says, they merited to count the Jewish people together with Moshe Rabbeinu. They merited to become the leaders of the Jewish people. And therefore, when the Mishkan was dedicated, they did it first. Now, Rashi says this a little bit later, a few psukim later. Rav Nosson says like this, Amar Rav Nosson, that when it came, why did the Nesiim over here give first? It says, because when they were collecting money to build the Mishkan, so the Nesiim said, you know what, let all the Jews give. Whatever they're missing, we'll give. Okay, let everybody, typical Jew, let everybody do what they want to pay, and if there's any money missing, we'll pay it. What happened? The Jews brought so much money. It's the only time in history that the Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell the Jews, stop giving tzedakah. Can you imagine? Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jews, there's enough. We don't need any more. So the Nesiim basically were stuck. They ended up not donating anything for the construction of the Mishkan.
So, is he happy or not?
So now, no, they're very upset. So they ended up bringing, Rashi says, the Avni Shoyim and the Avni Miluim, the stones for the Kohen Gadol's breastplate, for the Cheshin and Eifod, so they brought the stones. But there was nothing else left. So over here, the Nesiim said, no, now that we're dedicating the Mishkan, we're going first. Oh. We're going to go first. And that's what Amar Rav Nosson, Maron Nesiim Lesnadiv Kam Betchila, and by the Mishkan they didn't. So Rashi says, from the Medrash, Rav Nosson says, because over there, they said they thought they were smart. Their intention was good, by the way. Their intention was good, you know. Let the people bring whatever is missing, we'll make up. Which is really noble from their part. But the bottom line is, you snooze, you lose. You know, they lost. They didn't have an opportunity to bring. So here they said, we're going to bring first. Okay. So now, Vayavir's Karban Am Lifnei Hashem. They brought their Karban before Hashem. What did they bring? Listen to this. Sheish egli tzov, 6 covered wagons, ushnei aser bakar, 12 cattle. Meaning, agola ushnei anasiyim, the wagons were 2, there were 12 tribes, right? So they brought 6 wagons. So the pasuk is teaching us math. That means 2 nasiyim brought 1 wagon, but there were 12 horses, 12 cattle. That means each wagon had 2 horses, right? So there's 6 wagons, so 2 Nesiim together joined into buying 1 wagon, but each one brought their own cattle, so there's 12 cattle and 6 agolas. So the Mefarshim explained, the Sipurim explains over here, why did they bring jointly? Why couldn't they bring 12 wagons? Sipurim says, because they wanted to have unity. Achdus. They wanted to have unity. So sign of unity, 2 Nesiim together bought 1 wagon. So the Rebbe asks in this, because Rashi doesn't even talk about this bechal. So the Rebbe says, according to Rashi, why doesn't Rashi like this? Because then, if they wanted to show unity, then all of them together should have brought one wagon. Obviously, there's an issue with this unity story. But the Mefarshim explained a very interesting thing. The six that they brought, here, it says like this. Who does he bring this down from? The Mamloyas brings it down from the Rabbeinu Bechaya, Medrash Rabba. It says like this. The six wagons correspond with the 6 days of creation. Okay, why did he bring six wagons? 6 days of creation. Shisha Sidre Mishnah, the six orders of Mishnah. Six matriarchs. Sara, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. They're mothers of all the 12 tribes. And the 12 Bakar correspond with the 12 Shvatim and the 12 constellations, the 12 Mazalot. So this is the way they brought the carbon.
Didn't it also work out that the 12 number wagons they needed to carry the Mishkan and...
No. Yes or no. We'll see in a second.
Okay.
Now, the Mamloah is also being zoned over here. Why did they buy it with Shutfis? Why did they buy it with partnership? For two reasons. Number one, for unity. And second, if a wagon breaks, at least one tribe doesn't lose out completely. It's like, you got two tribes together. So it's, at least they'll have something. But the Rebbe explains over here a very phenomenal concept. In fact, the Gemara in Shabbos, when they try to figure out, okay, we'll soon see in the Chumash, like this. They had six wagons, okay? So there's Gershon, Kahas, and Merari, okay? Merari carried the boards. There's three sons of Levi, Gershon, Kahas, and Merari. These are the three families, okay? So Meshe Rabbeinu came from Kahas. So Kahas, they carried everything by hand. They carried the Aron, you know, the holy utensils they carried by hand. Gershon carried the coverings, the tent coverings.
Moshe's son?
No. Moshe's grandfather and uncle, great uncles and great grandfather. There was Levi.
Yes.
Kohas.
Yes.
Okay. Amram, Moshe. Now, Levi had three sons. Gershon, Kohas, and Merari. Now, each one of those tribes were given, each one of those families were given jobs. Kohas, who was the holiest of them all, they carried the Aron, the Shulchan, the, you know, those things. So they didn't carry anything on wagons. They carried it with their hands.
They carried all of that by hand? They walked with it?
No, they FedExed it overnight.
That's a lot of stuff.
Why?
Heavy, yeah?
Yeah, but you had four or five people carrying it.
Merim
is bare the shulchan, two mizbeches. I mean,
they
play on skateboards.
They're walking all day.
They didn't. How much do you think they traveled in the Midbar?
I have no idea.
Huh?
I have no idea, Rabbi.
For a few years, they were in camp.
Rashi says, one second. You're right. Rashi says in Parshas Maaseh, one second, here. Rashi says, even though they traveled for 40 years, they weren't traveling 40 years. It says like this. There are 42 trips from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. 14 of the 42 trip journeys was in the first year, before the Gzeda. Okay? Now, then it says, another eight travels were after Aaron died. That means already they were already at the end. Okay? So you had 14 and 8 is 22. Okay. Now, for 38 years, they only traveled 20 times. Think about it.
How many miles in between? Yeah, they still travel a few hundred miles.
Yeah, but...
Only every other year they might move.
Yeah, so wasn't every day they're schlepping the Mishkan?
When they did move, how far did they go?
It doesn't, there's a map.
From
Cairo to Jerusalem.
No, there's a map exactly. No, they were in Ramses and Cairo. But they were, there's a map. I mean, if you look in the olden biblical, like in Tanakh, those types of maps, they show the distance. I mean, I don't know if it's kilometers, a mile, whatever it is, but there wasn't that much time. The whole trip is Achad Asayyeh Mechadev. The whole trip from Eretz Mitzrayim by foot to Eretz Yisrael was 11 days. So how far could it be already? Make a cheshbon how much a person travels 10 parsa a day, the Gemara says. So it's 100 parsa, is 400 mil, it's 350 miles. That's the long way they went. It's not that much, you know. So Rashi says later in Parshas Masi, out of the love that Hashem had to the Jewish people. Okay. But the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Sechta Shabbos, make the cheshbon, four wagons were given to Merari. Okay, they were all together six. Six were given, Kos got nothing. Well, soon learn. Gershon got two wagons, they carried the curtains. So they needed two wagons for that. Merari carried the boards. Now don't forget, the boards were 1.5 amas wide, 10 amas high, okay? And there were, like, we learned 20 boards, 10 boards, there's a lot of boards, yeah? And the Gemara makes it's a whole page of Gemara, making a cheshbon, making the reckoning, how the boards fit exactly on the wagons. How many layers and how many up, and they had to, and it was very difficult, it was a very hard job for the Levim, to make the boards properly, and then when they traveled, there was a Levi standing in between the wagons, make sure that nothing was falling off. I mean, it was a really difficult, exact measurement for the wagons to work. So the Rebbe asks, what's the lesson of this? L'cheira, why couldn't they just donate a few more wagons? The Nesim were very wealthy. Donate a few more wagons, another four wagons or so, and it'll be much easier, and not such hassle, and, you know, do it like a mensch. What do you have to go crazy for? So the Rebbe says, the lesson of this is that if six are enough, eight would be a waste.
You have to be content.
Not content. No, that's...
Make it work.
In other words, what?
Work with what you have.
Make it work with what you have without wasting time. I mentioned this many times by Fabrengis and Shul, whatever. The Rebbe was a very organized person, yeah? But the Rebbe would give out something to print. A printing job that normally would take, let's say, 4 or 5 hours. One of the Rebbe's like hobbies was giving it out 2 hours before Shabbos and says, I want it printed before Shabbos. That's what he would do.
We'll have to squeeze out every single piece of
paper. And you know what? The bottom line was, it got printed before Shabbos.
Yeah.
Okay, I can tell you something, the women would relate to more. You want to get the house ready for Pesach. You start a year before, or 2 days before, the house is going to be ready for Pesach. No matter what. Okay? What does that mean? If 2 hours is enough, yeah, under normal circumstances, you need, let's say, 3-4 hours. But if you push yourself to the limit, you'll get it done in 2 hours. Right? Whether Lich Benshin is in the summer, 7 o'clock, or 4 o'clock, somehow everybody's busy to the last minute getting ready for Shabbos. It doesn't make sense. If winter, you're ready 4 o'clock, so you should so somebody should have 3 hours of going shopping. I was talking to a guy from Alaska today. He told me, these days are not bad. Shabbos comes in 11:30 at night. In Alaska now, he says in June there's no night b'chlal. It doesn't become night at all. It's in Anchorage. So he says, so in other words, the women could go shopping 9 o'clock Friday night in the mall. Friday night, 9 o'clock, they can go shopping. So he told me that a lot of them, like the modern Orthodox people in Alaska, they go to the movies Friday night.
Wow.
Before Shabbos. They go to the movie Friday. He told me this today. They go to the movie Friday night. They come home. They daven, make kiddush, and that's it.
You got Shabbos.
Shabbos. What? No. Yeah, whatever. Shabbos ends also 12 o'clock. Shabbos comes in 3:30.
It's a good movie in the morning.
It becomes 9:30, it becomes light. 3:30 is already dark. Their fast, the Asar B'Tavis, is from 9:30 to 3:30. So they get up early, they eat a big breakfast, and 3:30 they go eat lunch after the fast. Mm-hmm. But Shivasa B'Tamos, they fast 24 hours. Wow. Like Tisha B'Av. Anyway, we're not talking about that. Anyway, what's the point over here? The point over here is the Torah is teaching us. No, everything in the Torah is a lesson. It's not Stama. The Torah is not telling us the history, historical fact, that they, you know, big deal. So what does it mean to us? The lesson is, if six wagons are enough, then you don't need eight. If an hour is enough to do it, don't spend 2 hours on it. Maximize your time and your abilities and your goods, your objects. It's a phenomenal lesson, if you think about it. Even though it's difficult to have to cheshbon and figure it out, bottom line is, if you can make it work, you make it work with what you have. And utilize the potential to the fullest.
So you said that they could have had more wagons.
They could have had, it wasn't the issue of the money. The bottom line was, the leaders are teaching us a lesson. If six is enough, then you don't need seven. You don't need eight.
So it's like,
what's that? It says you always have to grow in Yiddishkeit, yeah? So you learn more, and you learn more every year. Okay, you come to 24 hours a day learning. Where do you go now? The answer is, in the quality of the learning, you can grow. In other words, there's the quantity and there's the quality. You have to make ultimate use, qualitative. How much of our brain do we use? What, 10% it says? 10% of our brain is what we use. So you can imagine, we only use a tenth of the ability of the brain. So the Torah is teaching us here, you need to utilize everything to the fullest. But
do we know which tribes partner with each other?
No, doesn't say. I don't know. It'll be an interesting point. Maybe one and two, three, and I don't know. Okay, now, so Hashem said to Meisha, "Kach me'itam, take it from them. And we'll use it to work in the Mishkan." So the Mefarshim explain. That why does the Torah say Hashem says to Meisha Rabbeinu take it? Because Meisha Rabbeinu didn't want to take it. Meisha Rabbeinu didn't want to take these gifts. Why not? Meisha Rabbeinu said, what's wrong? What did I tell you?
What happened?
Before Mincha was... I love cold. Before Mincha...
Maybe they wanted less wagons so there would be less drivers.
We should hang up a sign. Women who come to this class should bring winter coats. So summer, winter. I told him right away, before Mincha, it was very hot in here. She said, watch, we're going to open the air conditioner, turn on the air conditioner, and watch what happens. Okay. One second, let me just finish this point. Okay. So it says that Hashem says to Moshe, take it from them. So Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was hesitant to take it until Hashem said, take it. If not, why does Hashem have to tell him, take it? So, the Mefarshim explain, because Moshe Rabbeinu already learned his lesson, don't bring something that you shouldn't bring. What happened to Nadav and Avihu? They brought a foreign fire, so they died. All the other things were commanded, Jews were commanded to bring. Gold, silver, copper. Wagons and animals, they were never commanded by Hashem to bring. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, 1 minute, I'm not taking this. Because who knows what can happen from this. It's a foreign, so to speak, like a foreign fire, that Nadav and Avihu died with. So Hashem says, no, their intention is pure. Their intention is pure. You should take it from them. It was proper from their perspective, but not from Hashem's perspective.
But this is not going to Kodesh Roshim. It's okay.
I understand, but still, but you're right. This is not going to the Kodesh Kodashim. This is going to the parking lot. But nevertheless, he saw that by bringing things you shouldn't be bringing, they made it worse. Okay, so Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Kach me'itam, take it from them." V'hoyu l'avedus avedus elmeid, v'nesat eisem el alavim, and given to the Levim. Hashem says to Moshe, Ish kefi avedasi, each person based on what they needed to do. Because Gershon, like we said, was a lighter load than Merari, so they needed two wagons instead of the four wagons that they got. Vayikach Moshe, so Agolis v'sabokor, Moshe Rabbeinu took the wagons and the cattle. Vayitein esem alavim. How did he divide it up? Eishteo Agolis, two wagons, veis arba sabokor and the four cattle. Nasan levnei Gershon gave kfi avidosim, based on their aveda, which wasn't so heavy, so he gave them two wagons were enough. Veis arba agolis veishmeina sabokor, and the four wagons, and the eight cattle, nasan levnei Merari, he gave to the children of Merari, kfi avidosim, based on their aveda, biadi samer ben Aaron Akim, because we learned that samer was in charge of them. Levnei Kohos Leinoson, but the Kohos kids, he didn't give anything. Why? Because they were carrying the holier objects, like the Arin and the Shulchan and the Menorah and all that. Because of Yisoh, they carried it by their shoulders. Okay, they bring down the Mefarshim, bring down, there's a whole very interesting story with David HaMelech.
No, they are not jealous each other? Because you got the only one, the other, they're not making fight between them?
I'm sure they should
fight the whole time. What did Korach do? Why did Korach fight? Because he didn't get what he wanted. He was jealous that somebody else got what he was supposed to get. But when Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jews, this is Hashem commanded, don't blame me, this is what God said.
Surrender, huh?
Abchar, a firstborn gets double. Yeah? That cause jealousy? This is what God said. This is what you do. What can you do? I mean, the Jews figure out ways to bypass the system. Don't worry about it. But, they bypass the system. Okay, but it says like this. David HaMelech had to move. It says, the whole story in Shmuel, it's one of the haftarahs we say during the year, that David HaMelech put the Aron on a wagon to transport it when they were moving Be'uz over there. And the story is that the Aron was about to fall off, and David HaMelech wanted to catch it, and he was punished because of it. The number one, that they put it on wagons to carry the Aron later on, and the Torah says, because of Yisoh, it needs to be carried by the shoulders. And also, if the Aron can pick up the ones that hold it, so how do you think the Aron's going to fall? So there's a whole punishment that went on over there. So the Torah is emphasizing over here that these things need to be carried only on the shoulders. Okay. Okay. Then the Torah says like this. Next page. The Nesiim brought their dedication. Now, the Medrash says like this. After the Nesiim brought their gifts, the wagons, the Nesiim got into donation mode. So he said, you know what, we're going to bring Korbanos also. That's why it's two separate things. First they brought gifts of the wagons and the cattle. And then it said, Vayakriva Nesiim. So Grashi says, after they gave the wagons and the bakard, nosam libam lesnadiv kabanas mizbeach. Then they wanted to dedicate the mizbeach itself with sacrifices. Ve'akriva nesim es kabanim lefnei mizbeach. They all brought their kabanas. Okay, and again, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to take it until Hashem said. Therefore, Hashem said, ve'yam Hashem Moshe, nasi achad layim, nasi achad layim, one nasi per day. Yakriv is korbanis. Because it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem like this, the Medrash says. They all want to bring it the same day. It's Rosh Chodesh Nissan, right? Each one wanted to do it together. All the 12 tribes wanted to bring the korbanis together. Hashem said, no. Each one has his own holiday. Each one needs its own unique time. So he says, Nasi Achad Layim, that Hashem says it should be one, every person should have their own thing. In fact, the Ramban says something that Hashem wanted that each person should have their, like, their own day in court, so to speak, their own detention. And by the way, it's like the din of Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. You don't mix Simchas together, because each thing needs its own time and own space. Okay, so now the Torah says like this. V'hi ha-makriv b'yem ha-rishin es karbonei. And here I just want to give an introduction to this. We know every letter in Torah is exact. Every letter in Torah is exact. Every word in Torah is exact. The next 80 psukim go away repeating the same korban 12 times. They all brought the same korban. Right? All the Nesim brought the same korban. The Torah repeats it 12 times. 12 times the Torah keeps repeating it. Okay? Why? Why does the Torah repeat it 12 times? So simply because each Nasi brought the physically same carbon, but the Kavana, the intent of the each Nasi was different. And when you look in the Medrash elaborates on each one of the 12, the way physically they're all the same carbon, realistically they're completely different. Not physically. In the intent, every Nasi had their own intent bringing the carbon. And therefore the Torah repeats it 12 times, in addition to the fact, like we know, it was so precious by Hashem, the fact that they dedicated it like this, that Hashem repeats it 12 times to show the importance of it. Like Vayakru Pekudah is repeated, you know, Tumat Tetzav is, you know, it wants to show the greatness of it.
They don't want to show the, all of them the same, look at the same level?
Physically, no. What it means here like this, in a spiritual sense, it means like this. Two people can be putting on tefillin the same way. Two women could be lighting Shabbos candles the same way, but no two people do it the same way. The intent, the kavana, the meaning, the feeling, it's different. The physical act is the same.
Why they say bring it the same? If
to make everybody equal.
So equal from where?
We'll soon see. Rashi goes through and the Medrash goes through the reason why they brought exactly what they brought.
Yeah.
There's a reason of what they brought, everything they brought. But everybody wanted this, no jealousy, everybody should bring the same. But it's repeated 12 times because there's 12 different kavanas of each one bringing it. And that's why
The Medrash says,
yeah. In fact, the Medrash elaborates on each one, the kavanah of each particular Nasi, based on who they were and what they did and so on. Okay, now, of course, the fight started.
Yeah.
Who's first? Okay? Huh? Well, the flip of coin over here was Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu exactly the order. Because after Yehuda brought the first day, that already everybody handled, you know, Messias Nefesh, Nachshon, and I mean, not the Yehuda, the king. But then afterwards, Reuven came and said, hey, okay, Yehuda goes first, but I'm next. Moshe said, no. Hashem said, Yisachar is next. It basically went by the travelings in the Midbar. Yehuda was first, then it was Yisachar and Zvulun were together with Yehuda. Then it was Reuven. It went actually based the way they traveled in the Midbar. But this is what Hashem said, this is the way it should be brought. Okay. It was the one that brought on the first day. Okay. So the Badaske Malatesis says, what does it mean, Beyem Horishin? He says, even though he wasn't supposed to bring first, because really Reuven was the oldest, but he was greater. Okay. But Yehuda was first, he says, or that's came by the text says like this: Nachshon ben Aminadav was Aaron's brother-in-law. Aaron married Nachshon's sister. But this says in Parshas Shmos, who did Aaron a Kohen marry? Aaron married Elisheva, Basami Nodav Achais Nachshin. Okay? So Aaron's wife was Nachshin's sister. So he was like in the Kohen conspiracy. Yeah. Part of the first family, yeah. Okay. So Hashem said to Moshe, this is what they should, the way they should bring it. Okay, Lamata Yehuda, okay, it's for the tribe of Yehuda. And by the way, the Mefarshim Rashi says, but it's really the Medrash also, that even though it says from the tribe of Yehuda, but the tribes didn't pay for it. This came from the personal money of each of the Nasim. Nachshon made his own carbon. Nisano Ben Tzur paid for his own carbon. Nobody, they didn't collect money from the tribe. This was personal carbon from the heads of the tribes themselves.
Did the tribes give all their money over to
Michigan? No, but they had still plenty of money.
This carbon they bring in the Madim Yom
Tov. No, this is Nissen. The first 12 days in Nissen. That's it. One time deal. Yehuda brought Rosh Chodesh and Yisachar bought Beis. In fact, when it says Bayim Ashvi, seventh day, was what's his name? Menashe. Yeah, Ephraim. Sorry, the Medrash says Taka Shabbos. Bayim Ashvi Taka brought on Shabbos. Is the first 12 days in this? And obviously, there's a Shabbos there. Bayim Ashvi. It was Sunday. Nachshon and Aminadav brought his carbon on Sunday, which was Rosh Chodesh Nissan that year. And then, actually, the seventh day, Ephraim brought on Shabbos. But
how did they know what to bring?
The reason, well, Rashi says what they brought it for, you know, the intent of it. They were divinely inspired. These were tzaddikim. The tzaddikim were inspired of what to bring. Correct.
Each one is.
Even though Rashi says later, okay, because Rashi says he heard, yeah. You say the Shemesh Adashim Rashi says in Pasuk Yutes. Amir Pinchas Ben Yoir, Nisano Ben Tzur Hisa Eitzazu. Nisano Ben Tzur, the second guy to bring, he advised the Jews to bring and what to bring. It was his idea.
So what did they bring?
We'll soon see. Okay. Yeah, it was expensive carbon, by the way. Yeah. Especially you go with silver and gold prices today, very expensive. Okay, so what did they bring? It says like this. A makir b'yem radishim was nashim in aminadav. His offering was karis kesef achas, one silver bowl. It weighed 130 shekels. Mizrak achad kesef, one silver basin, shivim shekel b'shakel kesh, weighed 70 shekels. Shneyam meleim, both of them were filled with soilus b'lulav ha-shemen, fine oil. Soilus is the best oil. In Hebrew, you have kemach and soilus, right? In Torah, soilus is the finest flour. The best flour is called soilus. Kemach is already a junkier type of flour. Blulav Hashemen mixed with oil for an offering. Kaf achas, one golden asada zahav of 10 shekels of gold. Mleik teiras filled with teiras, the incense. Pad echad ben bakar, and the Daskim Bautes says pad echad means the best bull. Doesn't only mean one bull. Because par would mean a bull. If it said par ben bakar, it means a bull. What do you mean? Par echod? The best. Par. Ayel echod, one ram. Keves echod, one ben shenasi le'ela, one sheep in the first year for a carbon eila. Si'irizim echod l'chatos, one goat for a sin offering to get forgiven. And I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Uzev echod shlomim bakar shenayim. And for the peace offering, they brought two cattle, Elim Chamisha, five rams, Atudim Chamisha, five male goats, Kvasim Reishana, 5 sheep in the first year. Okay, this is the carbon that they brought. They brought basins and spoonfuls of gold and what? Well, it says 1 second.
What's the difference between a basin and a bowl?
Round kaolin? Bowl is probably bigger.
Why did they
just... No. A basin, sorry, basin is bigger. 70 shekels.
The bowl weighed more than the basin.
Basin's like a
thing.
Right.
Bowl
is the...
This is 10 set for the mid...
This was the gift that they gave.
Super Bowl.
What did they use this gift? The gold and this one? What did they use it?
They used it as kelim in the Beis HaMikdash.
They already have the kelim.
Yeah.
Right, but the basin, which would have been bigger, weighed less.
Now... Each shekel in the Torah, just to get the cheshbon straight, is 13.33 grams each shekel. Okay, or if you want to do ounces, it's 0.43 troy ounces. Okay, it's almost, let's say, a little bit less than a half an ounce. Okay, so if you just think what they brought, 30 shekel, okay? No, 130 shekel, plus 70 shekel is 200 shekels of silver. Okay? Yeah? That, so it's like...
Is it 100 ounces or what?
It's about 100 ounces of silver. Plus one gold of 10 shekels. So you're talking about 5 ounces of gold that they brought. Besides all the animals and all the flour, I mean, it was an expensive gift. Now Rashi explains over here, what was this whole cheshbon over here? Now, Kari's Kesef, Rashi says, equals 930. Kari's Kesef, this bowl, yeah? The word Kari's Kesef equals 930, that's how long Adam Rishon lived. 130, its weight, it says because Shem was 130, when he gave birth to Chase, okay? After Cain and Hevel were finished. So our other Marisha was 130 when he gave birth to Chase. Okay? So the first thing, the bowl, represents the life that other Marisha lived. 930 years. The next thing represented when he started giving life to the world. 70 shekel represents the 70 nations that came out of Adam HaRishon. So therefore, it all has to do with from the beginning of creation. Kaf Achas, one spoon, refers to Torah, which was given from God's hand. 10 gold represents the 10 commandments. Mleik Teiris, Rashi says if you change the Kuf and the Dalid, with Adbash, it equals 613. Par Echad, refers to Avram, who took a bull. Ayel Echad is the ram of Yitzchak. Keves Echad refers to Yaakov Avinu separating the sheep. Sir Izim is to forgive for Yosef selling that they dipped his coat into blood, you know, the goat skin. And Zevach HaShlamim Bokeh Shenayim was Moshe and Aaron, who made peace between the Jews and Hashem. And the three rams were Kohenim Leviim, and Yisraelim, and Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and the three times five is five Chumashim, five Dibris on one stone, five Dibris on the other stone. In other words, basically Rashi explains to the Mesha Darshan that the gifts of the Nasiim corresponded with the creation of the world and the giving of Torah. Now, what L'Chaira does this have to do, like this with the price of eggs in China? I mean, like what does this have to do to their gift? But the answer is very simple. If you're talking about dedicating the Mishkan, right, which is God's home, why did God create the world? For the Jews to observe Torah mitzvahs. Bereishis, Beis Reishis, for the Jews to observe to receive the Torah. God made a condition with the world. If the Jews accept the Torah, fine. And if not, the world's going back to nothingness. So the Nesi'im wanted to show that the dedication of the Mishkan represents the whole purpose of creation. It represents the life of Adam Rishon, his offspring, the patriarchs, yeah, and the wagons represented the matriarchs, like we said before, the six things, plus the Matan Torah, the Tayag Mitzvahs, the Aseret Hadibros, and the five Chumashim and everything like that. Which means the Nesi'im are showing that the purpose of the Mishkan is to bring godliness into the world. And that's why they brought this particular gift. They could have brought other gifts or whatever. This was the intent, the general intent of all of them when they bring these korbanos. And it's interesting, he brings this down, this is also a very interesting thing, brings it down from, okay, Sefer Kol Shevet Musar, says like this, if you look at the last words of Nachshon's Korban, it says, Chamisha, Ze Korban Nachshon Ben Aminadav, yeah? The last pasuk of 17, yeah. For the shlami brought two cattle, im chamisha to chamisha, right? So he says like this: chamisha is a ches, ze is a zayin. Skip the word karbon, and you have the word nachshin. Yeah. So you have ches, zayin, nun, and the word karbon in the middle. Yeah? Look at the words, yeah? So he says like this. This represents the concept of a chazan davening in the shul. What does it mean? Tefillah is in the place of korbanos. Right? We daven today is instead of korbanos. Like he brings down that now that we don't have a beis hamikdash, so he says like this. The chazan, and it's very interesting, in Chassidish Sfarim it's brought down, the chazan can either be mezakeh the rabbim, give merit to the community, or God forbid make him sin. The way the chazan down, if it's not with ego, and if it's not, if he's, like, in Gemara, it's also brought down in Shulchan Aruch. You know, you have an aliyah l'teira. It's called, you get an aliyah to the Torah. And by the chazan, there's always an expression, yoreid lifnei hateva. About the chazan, says in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, the expression, he's yoreid lifnei hateva. He goes down before the Amid. Torah is called, aliyah is called aliyah lo Torah, and yoreid lifnei hateva. So it says in Sfarim, why? Before Shema the Gemara explain. Because in the olden times, the place where the chazan stood was lower than the rest of the shul. Why? Because David HaMelech says in Tillim, Shir HaMaleis, Mi Ma'amakim Krasicha Hashem. Out of the depths, Mi Ma'amakim, from the Eimek, from the depths, I call out to you Hashem. So because of that, it's not done today for whatever reason. But years ago, the chazan, the shul actually went down. Went down in a slant forward, yes. And the chazan stood in the lowest place of the shul. The Torah, the bima where they leaned, would be like steps up. So simply it means aliyah l'Torah. Physically, you went up to the Torah and you went down to be the chazan. But in a completely different spiritual sense, Sfarim say that when you get an aliyah, it's not only the physical going up, because even if you don't have steps, you still get an aliyah. Because it elevates the neshama level after level after level. Aliyah l'Torah, actually, the Torah elevates you when you get an aliyah. When a person is davening for the Amid, over there they have to have humility. And that's why it's called Yoreid Lifnei HaTeva, Mimamakim, from the depths, because they need to have the humility to realize that all the tefillahs, from a halachic perspective, I'm going to call it Kabbalah now, from a halachic perspective, the tefillahs of the community go through the chazan. They go up to heaven through the chazan. So the chazan, if he davens with kavanah and sincerity and humility, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you're supposed to have a chazan. Something like this. You're supposed to daven for the Amid, ideally, a guy who's broke and has a large family. Because when they daven, they mean it. No, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. When they daven, they mean it. When they say, God give us, they mean it. No, that's what it says in Aloha. Because when you have the bittul of the davening, because he has to understand, he is representing the community to Hashem. So the tefillah go through him. So it says over here, Chamisha ze korba nachshein. So Chamisha ze nachshein is chazen. And that's the concept, the middle of the word is korban, to teach us that the chazen's davening is like a korban.
And not the ideal chazan.
They're not the ideal chazan, and the chazan that go too long also that they like to hear themselves sing is also not such a good chazan. It says. That's why in a lot of the Hasidic circles, they didn't like a chazan. They liked what's called a bal tefillah. About Tfila, it was one that davened with Kavona, and the Chazan was somebody who likes to hear his voice. So that was the difference. Okay, Shem, to continue.